go first.
Okay, go ahead.
So one of the things I think I brought this up last time was trying to get her daughter to get up and ready on time, like by herself.
Yeah.
So I think in this last week I'd count at least like three days out of five maybe where she was able to meet her own record and get ready. So in the
wow.
morning. Yeah, so
3 out of 5?
Yeah, at least 3 out of 5.
That's awesome. That's over half, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So what did she do differently, or what did she do differently?
I think we were letting her, we were like trying to impress the fact that, it's important that she realized that, what's our responsibility, what's her responsibility, and that, I was not going to be able to wait past a certain time, and I was absolutely going to leave. And, a couple of times she initially it was hard for her to hear that, but then she did see that I was willing to follow up on that and not like continue waiting for her. I think it's more of a bit of change on my side where I was being more hardcore about leaving on time, and her realizing that I was going to do that anyway. And then she trying to adjust to that. So I think it was
okay.
A good progress on both sides.
Okay. And then how was the conversation in the car, I guess, when you guys left on time on those days?
Let's see. I think I should have praised her more from our meeting last time.
I'm honestly curious if it went well or if like she felt hassled. I wasn't looking to see like if you had reinforced or anything. I was just looking to see how it went. Like if she was cool, if there was any change in the way she felt about the morning, or if it went as smoothly as it could.
Yeah, I think it was smooth. It was there was no rancor or anything like that.
Good. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
so cool. Definitely something to celebrate for me.
Indeed. Well done.
Thank you.
Townley, what's happening with you guys? You want to celebrate real quick?
Sure. I guess this celebration comes from actually my son's been struggling quite a bit at school, and the celebration, I guess, is that when he messes up and it's hard to go back to school, he managed that after a kind of a big event, and he's kind of a master of avoiding. But after one event, he went back to school, and he just directly and right away went up to the teacher and the student that the issue was with and apologized at the beginning of the day instead of not. So he dealt with it quickly, where in the past that's usually not his MO. And so he was just over the moon and proud of himself, and so that was good.
That's great. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Awesome. And so, I mean, sometimes it's just about being able to get back up and try again, right?
Yes. Well, and yeah, it's we're having a hard time doing that right now. So I'm focusing on that one day that he was able to do that.
Good. Okay. So is that what you'd like to take aim on then for this call?
I haven't quite figured out exactly how to do the taking aim thing yet.
What's been bugging you the most lately?
Well, yeah, it's cool. He's definitely, we're kind of back to where we get to every year or two where he doesn't want to go. And so I was glad to hear that, this other girl is able to get herself up and out, which is great. I'm in the opposite place now where I'm having a harder time getting him to get up because he just, it's not even getting up, I guess it's going. He's starting to refuse to go, and it makes it extremely hard. So he yeah. would be happy if I said, I'm leaving at this time anyway. He'd say, okay, go ahead.
Like, see ya.
I'm so happy to stay home, Mom. You go ahead.
I'll be here when you get back.
Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, is it the end of the school year, do you think? You said this happens every couple of years. Is there something that's consistent? Is it this time of year? Is it?
I don't know. You know, we've pretty much moved him every couple of years for different reasons. And we thought we were in a good spot. He's in a multi-age kind of very, supposed to be project-based, student-driven, pretty mm-hmm. non-traditional, context within our school district. And, but it's changed. Like his, those things aren't happening. So none of the things that we say should happen for maybe atypical kids or for any kids, you know, that his strengths aren't being honored. I don't think his accommodations are being met. All of this has happened in the last like 3 weeks of kind uh-huh. of realizing where we're at. So he knows it. He doesn't feel like he has anybody at school right now advocating for him where he's had that in the past. So,
so he feels pretty alone.
Yeah, and he's done. You know, okay. he just feels like no matter what he does, he's going to get in trouble. And, you know, it's, yeah. I'll try to stay on the celebrating part. But
that's, no, that's okay. We're on the taking
mind
part
right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I'm wondering if what would be the most, so what is top of mind for you? Is it figuring out next steps for him? Is it helping him feel supported and cared for in the environment that he's in?
Yeah, I just don't know. I can't control that because it's school. So it's, we're debating moving him and taking him out of there. And so I guess I'm right now, the biggest thing is, do I do that now or do I wait until next year? And if this contact's not working, how do I keep working to find a place that is, or, you know, what can I offer that's better for him?
Yeah.
Given
what's your fear?
I live and the constraints.
Yeah.
What's my fear?
Yeah.
Hi.
It's okay. This is hard. There's nothing worse than seeing our kids hurt and not being able to fix it or feeling like we can't fix it.
Yeah, I don't want him to get squashed. It's just, you know, the topic is a failing forward. You know, he has lots of experience with failing, and he, you know, this last thing, he was just like, I failed you. I'm a failure. I Aww. Can't do it. Why should I go? I don't, no matter what I do, you know, no matter what I try. And I'm like,
Oh, sweetheart. Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he gets up again. You know, he does. And I,
yeah.
You know, he moves through that and he, but I don't think that that's being honored or celebrated at school. And so I don't think, as much as I saw how much courage, and he was so excited about how proud he was of this day that he went and right off the bat took responsibility. And I mean, that carried him all through the day. I don't know that any adult there acknowledged that.
Wow.
You know, I confirmed with his teacher that he actually did the apologies, and the teacher's like, yes, he apologized and didn't say anything else. And I'm like, I don't need you to tell me how big a deal this was, but my son needs to hear that you appreciate how much courage that took.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
no,
it's hard because
like
I'm here in the school district. Yeah. So it's also tricky because these are, you know, I'm sort of a colleague and a parent.
Right. You have to balance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he sounds like an amazing and incredibly brave little guy. I mean, I can't imagine the strength that it takes every day to keep going back someplace, you know, and continuing to try again.
Right.
And I hope he knows that you recognize how hard that was. I'm sure he does. I'm sure you told him how proud you were.
Yeah, and we celebrated. And
Good. Okay, good. Okay. We're going to circle back to that because I want to touch on that just a little bit in a second. But first, Raghu, do you want to take aim?
Sorry, what did you want me to do?
Take aim. What do you want to take aim on for the call today?
I didn't think through that question. Oh, okay. Give me
that's
a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Just whatever comes to mind. Usually that's the easiest way to do it. You know, whatever has been kind of bugging you the most, or it can be the same thing that we took aim on a couple weeks ago. It can be really just whatever floats up. It can be something that has to do with you, not necessarily with your child.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just give me a minute. Why don't we come back to me?
Yes. Okay. No problem. It's actually just the two of you, so it'll be a second.
All right.
I can just kind of dive into the failing forward part of it. You know, I think it's an interesting topic because depending on how you were raised, I mean, what? Oh, did somebody say something? Hello? Nope. Yeah, I'm just going to keep going. So, jump around or let me know you're jumping around if you need me. Okay. Anyway, depending on how we were raised, you know, I think a lot of us came from backgrounds where failure was not an option, or failure had a negative connotation, right? And so fear of failure has kind of, I guess, been a pervasive theme in a lot of our lives. And when we think about our kids failing, you know, it often kind of evokes like this visceral reaction where you want to like prevent that from happening and rescue them in some way. And it is really painful to see your kids get hurt by other people or try something and fail and know that you can't ease that pain. And we all know that our kids have to fail at something so they'll learn and grow and develop. And we can help with that because, I mean, failing is not necessarily a bad thing. And in a lot of ways, it's a good thing. I mean, you've seen all the inspirational quotes and videos and posters about, you know, the light bulb and how many times Edison failed to develop the light bulb until he finally got it right, and how Michael Jordan, you know, famous basketball player, didn't make his, you know, high school basketball team, or maybe it was his grade school basketball team, and then went on to be amazing and famous in so many levels. And there's a lot of stories like that. And, you know, I think we talked already today about how the important thing is getting back up and trying again. But I also think it's important for our kids to see us fail and for us to talk about that and why it's okay to fail. And, you know, when I started teaching this PSS group about 5 years ago, we had kind of a routine that we did at dinner with my kids when we would ask them about their day, you know, what was the highlight of your day? What do you wish you had done differently today? How did you help another person today? And how did you fail forward today? So we added that to our mix to kind of see how it went. And it's been really fascinating to see the things that come up during the day. I mean, some of them are like what we'd say obvious failures, like, you know, I got an F on my test, or I didn't get the part I wanted in the school play, that kind of thing. And we're able to talk about those and turn it into a positive, because every failure, as you know, is a step in the right direction or a step in a direction that's going to take them to the place where they're going to be next. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. You know, we assign kind of moral judgments to things that happen. And I don't know that that's the right thing to do. Things do happen, and our kids are going to continue to fail. And our kids are going to hear, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, a lot of negativity around their attempts to do things and the results of those attempts. And so if we can create that safe space to fail, and if they can see us fail too and know that it's not the end of the world, and that's just, you know, however you guys decide to verbalize it. I remember applying for a program that I wanted to get into, and I had applied for a couple of different ones in a couple of different universities. And as it turned out, I only got into two of the ones I applied to. And I'm like, well, there you go. It just made it very easy for me to choose between the two that were remaining. Now, it would have been really easy for me to sit and focus on, why didn't I get into that one? You know, what did I do wrong? What should I have done differently? But at the end of the day, I got into two of the ones that I wanted, so I got to choose between the two. So there's always something good to come out of it. What's coming up for you guys?
Yeah, I know. I totally get that idea. And I just like the growth mindset. And we use that a lot in you know, teaching, certainly, and encouraging
sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we learn from our mistakes. I mean, that's, that's the theory, anyway.
Yeah, lots of great stuff out there on growth mindset. Yeah. And just kind of buffing out the language around mistakes and failure, which isn't to say that, you know, these things don't hurt and they don't happen. They do. But it's how we handle it, right?
Right.
Raghu, have you focused on something or?
So, to answer the earlier thing about what I, is it about taking aim or
sure.
Failing forward?
Or both, whatever's coming up.
Taking aim, previously last week I had talked about, like, you know, getting everyone, you know, into their bedrooms and, like, you know, getting them to sleep on time. I think I still need to make some progress there. I think maybe last 2-3 days I've been trying to take a more hands-off approach, like, you know, not like trying to push them into sleep. My wife made a comment the other day saying that, you know, it's better that they sleep peacefully rather than late peacefully rather than early intention.
So
the last couple of days I've been trying to practice that, even though every part of my mind was gotta get them to go to sleep, you know. I was trying to take it easy, even though it was difficult for me.
So that was stressful for you.
it was stressful for me, but it was, it might be more of like, you know, you clenched your fist all this time. So changing your own habits, takes some, you know, you gotta, that muscle memory you have to kind of move away from it. So, I'm in the process of trying to do that, and let's see how well this exercise goes, you know, because still need the kids to, get to a better schedule.
Sure. What's the fear behind letting them stay up a little bit later?
Well, I mean, it's just the belief that, you know, oh, they have to sleep so many hours a day for them to get a, you know, long enough rest such that the next day is productive.
Mm-hmm. And do they usually wake up pretty cranky if they don't go to sleep kind of right on time?
I mean, I've always operated under that mentality of that, they have to have enough sleep. But then, you know, at least my wife tried to change my thinking a little bit two nights ago. So those last night and the night before that, I was trying to practice this different way of looking at it and, like, trying to, you know, putting on some music, you know, like more classical music such that lowers the, you know, everyone's more relaxed.
Yeah. And how was that for you? It sounds like it was a little stressful.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it's past 10:30 and they're like winding down, but not quite asleep yet, right? So
that's, can you go to sleep knowing they're still awake, or is there something connected there?
Oh, about myself?
Yeah.
No, I usually, I don't go to sleep till like midnight.
Okay. And is that because you have stuff to do or because you just can't sleep?
I have things to catch up, and usually between 11 and 12, I'm just trying to relax myself, like, you know, either watch something or listen to a lecture, or, you know, could be anything.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So, Townley.
Yep. Yes.
What would be the best way to support you?
I guess it's just, I don't know. I guess there's, you know, there's nobody that can say this is what you should do, right? It's, we're just at one of those points where we got to make a decision about keeping him where he is and trying to make that work, or making, you know, changing schools again, really, and looking at what resources are available. It's actually my building that I'm thinking about bringing him to. And
yeah.
But there's downsides to that, you know. So he's in a context right now where it's a multi-age classroom where he'll, you know, they looped with each other. So he knows all the kids that he'll be with. He, you know, he's been with them for 2 years and he could be with them for 2 more years. And that's ideal for him because they know him and they have all those opportunities to, you know, just get to know each other and know that they all mess up and they all make up and they move on. Like, it's that's definitely part of their culture. So he's kind of accepted, but I think we're at a place now where, you know, I think he's burning bridges there. So I'm kind of fighting that I just want to bail and try something new. But if he comes here, there's 300 kids and a lot more stimulus, and I don't think that's ideal for him, you know. And what I'd love to do is quit my job and stay home and homeschool him, but I can't do that. And and I, you know, so it's just like there's no great option. So it's like, which is the best?
Which
gives him the most?
Yeah, right.
And he's ready right now. It's, there's been one event after another, and he's definitely feeling targeted and
not healthy.
Like, just transfer me now, Mom. I'm just ready to go, and I'm fighting really hard not to do a knee-jerk pull because I could do it. He could come here tomorrow, and my principal would do that, and yeah, I could make it happen. But I think there's
we've been working on this since you came to us, though. So I don't know that this is a. I mean, it's been a topic or top of mind or something that's been kind of brewing.
Which is not new.
So I wouldn't say it's major.
It's new the second half of the year, but that's when I joined, was in February.
Is there a way to see it not as a failure, but as well? Okay, so if the topic is failing forward, is there a way to, I don't know, buff out that language a little bit or transition it in your mind in a way that is a, you know, an opportunity for success? It's one thing that, while we know this is not going to work, so we're going to try this one. Cross it off the list.
Yes, totally. Okay. And I get there. That's generally how I operate. But I think there's always this, you know, even like talking about bedtime, right? And letting go of, this is the time that I want them to go to bed. I'll, you know, come back to this. But I see a connection where when you ask Raghu about how he felt about it and was it uncomfortable to change that, because you believe that, you know, we believe we should get the right amount of sleep and our kids should go to bed at this time. And we want to be able to establish that and make it happen. And if you don't and you let go of that, then there's a questioning of, am I doing the right thing? So no matter which thing I choose, there's this piece of, I can't know if it's really the right thing. Like, some decisions are clear. Like, this is definitely going to be better. But I wrestle with that. Like,
how do you become okay with not knowing, right?
Yeah, well, you can't. You just can't. I mean, you have to be okay with it because you can't know until you do.
Right. But it doesn't keep us from trying to control it, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's always times when we, yeah.
So it's, I'm like a pros cons person. So I can, you know, make the list of all the pros and cons of the different scenarios. And yes, I know more about him now than I knew 2 years ago. And I know more about what he needs. And, you know, the reality is where he is doesn't provide any resources. So why stay there except that he's got a group of friends? And that's a big deal. So,
yes.
You know, my trading, you know, the trade-off. You give up one thing to get something else. And
is it? I mean, do you have to give up the friends?
I
mean, certainly it'll be different, right? It'll be a different type of normal. But, I mean, can he still see them?
Yes, he can still see them. I think what's different is that
there in this particular setting, as much as I'm frustrated with his teacher right now, a very core part of it is the community. So parents volunteer and you commit to that. And so we've never experienced inclusion within a community in any of the other classrooms that my kids have been in before. So there's mm-hmm. a difference about it that's special that he wouldn't have yeah. coming here. He'd still see those friends, and he'll know people here, and it's not like he won't have friends, but it's a different thing. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all right.
Is there a sense of community at the current school for you? It's different. It's unique. It sounds like you've gotten to connect with, you already knew, it sounds like, a lot of the parents and the teachers that are a part of that group. But is there a part of you that's kind of grieving that loss too? Or is it more from the work standpoint?
I think it's sad to me that the things that there are parts that he doesn't partake in because he's not as extroverted as the group tends to be. So he mm-hmm. likes to be with people, but he gets overwhelmed. And so they do a lot of social things where the kids are just all running around, and that's just too much for him. So he already, participates to the level that he's comfortable. There's more that mm-hmm. he could do with this group. So there's also a reality that he's not getting out of that community as much as he might if he were a different person. And so that helps me kind of say, all right, well then, if the benefits are not as great as they might be, then it's okay to leave,
Okay.
I don't know.
Sergio, what are you thinking?
I'm just listening intently.
Okay. would you like to work on what you're taking aim on?
I'm trying, right? Like as I was explaining, I'm still trying to see what's gonna work and what's not gonna work. And it's still like early days for me to, like, if I did this for a couple of weeks, then maybe at the end of those 2 weeks I'd see the difference. It's like still mm-hmm. early days in my experiments, but
okay. You're very data driven.
You can say that. But it's
a good thing. Quantifiable. Yeah. It's tangible. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to. I'm happy that we're able to wind down, but I just have to see the thing in action for a few more days before, patting myself on the back. Oh, great job, So.
What did you guys say when the kids were little?
I don't think it was. I think we've alternated from because we have three kids, and the difference in age between the eldest to the middle one was about 4+ years, and then between the middle and the youngest was 2 more. Uh-huh. It's only in the last couple of maybe a year and a half where we feel like, okay, they're old enough now that the mechanics have changed a little bit. Before it was especially with the younger two, them being more needy. So it's only in the last year and a half, I'd say, where we're trying. I'll be honest, some days have been very frustrating. So tempers can rise and not all productive. And there might be some shouting from my side, like, oh, you have to sleep now, you have to sleep now. And
it's hard to go to sleep when someone's yelling at you to go to sleep, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right?
Like, telling someone not to think about something.
Right. And I don't know what I'm what me and my wife might not be doing right or wrong, because I don't quite remember my own childhood being like that. So but again, it was just me and my sibling, so there was just two of us, so I don't know if it's two versus three or something else, or my dad was just stricter, and you know, maybe I'm not as strict, so could be a change. I mean, I only have my own personal experience to fall back on, so it just doesn't seem and that adds to some of the frustration where we're like, okay, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't it like it was for me when I was a kid?
Does it have to be wrong? Does it have to be right and wrong? Can it just be this isn't working or this is working?
Yeah, and so I'm more accepting of that, even if it's just different. But you know, we haven't gotten to that equilibrium of like, you know, things moving smoothly, and after some time, you know, it gets frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what the equilibrium looks like? So if you were to walk through an evening, or, you know, sort of that bedtime hour and a half or whatever, what is the perfect evening where everyone goes to bed on time and falls asleep and there's no yelling, no shouting? What does that look like? How does that go?
I don't know about equilibrium, but like certainly perfect. Idealistic would be, oh yeah, everyone's in their room like by 9, and then you know, between 9:15 and 9:30, everyone's fast asleep. That would be crazy idealistic.
Ideal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're not there.
Okay. And what are you okay with? I mean, if that's the ideal,
right?
How far off the ideal can you go and be okay with it?
Yeah, I think probably if at least by 10 everyone was asleep, you know, or at least like, you know, between 9:45 everyone was in bed, and by 10 everyone was fast asleep. That would be a great improvement over where we are right now, because right now it goes between 10:30 and 11, so.
Okay.
It's not very.
And they're in their rooms, but they're in their beds, but they're just not asleep. Are they like on their phones? Are they reading books? Are they what's going on that they're still awake in their rooms?
Yeah, the eldest might be you know, doing some homework. The younger two might be playing and then fighting. could be a bunch of different things going on, you know. Of course, sometimes the. You know, one of the kids might be super tired, and so they might sleep off early. Unfortunately, there's no set rhythm from that perspective, and so it's not clear to me how other families might be doing it. So, you know, and so sometimes it's when others are talking, like just today, like. I listen intently because, you know, that's also a window, and others are sharing their own experiences. So.
Sure. Yeah. What would it be acceptable to have them all be in their rooms and at a certain time, and, you know, close the door and just not go and check on them?
Yeah. So I think I did that last night, for example. Like, you know, I kind of.
Oh, uh-huh.
Just, well, I mean, it was late, so
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm tired myself, and I'm not gonna try and push them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them. I'll just tell them I'm going off, and then, you know, they can do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, it was past 10:30, and so I did go and check on them after like 11:15, and you know, things were quiet. So
yeah,
but gone off to sleep. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like the helicopter dad who's like hovering and trying to make sure that everyone's you know, trying to follow the rules.
Well, tell me, would you be willing to share your bedtime routine?
Sure. But I totally get his, you know, that challenge of, like I said before, like if we as parents are trying to do what we read is best, right? Or, you know they're supposed to get a certain amount of sleep, or, and so you're trying to build those healthy habits, really, then the letting go of that is hard. But I'm also seeing, I have an 11.5-year-old and a 12.5-year-old, and they are definitely, their sleep patterns are totally changing now, you know, from 6 months ago. They are awake an hour later than they used to be. And I can't make them, you know, you can't tell someone to go to sleep, right? Like, I can't make them
go to sleep.
But I do stick to a routine. So we, because they're so close in age, they enjoy the same books, which is great. So I still read aloud to them every night. So I can, there's a spot where I can sit where they both can hear me, but they're in their beds. And that's really our wind down, you know. And so it's 9 o'clock, I'm going to start reading. And there's often, you know, that getting off the other things and getting everything else done and getting there is not, you know, is not always smooth, but we get there and then they can settle down while I read. And that's helpful. But it's closer to 10 now than it used to be 9. Like, I'm done at 9, and they're wide awake running around. And it's just their clocks are just different now. And so part of me gets worried about that, because I want them asleep by 9:30 so that they get their sleep, because they are both really awful if they don't get their sleep. But same thing. If they're in bed and it's going to take them a while to go to sleep, then that's okay. My daughter will read. My son doesn't like to read, but my daughter will. She'll read for as long as she's allowed to read, which is fine. And she reads herself to sleep.
Yeah.
So
that works. And then when your son get out of bed,
No, they just stay in the room. Yeah. And there's no technology, and they don't. That part's all done. Sometimes they're just awake later.
Can I ask you a question?
The next day?
Sure, of course.
So it looks like your kids are in their rooms and in their beds by 9 and 9:30, and then, so they're allowed to read, and they're allowed to read as much as they want. Like, can they keep going till like 11, what is sleep for you? You know?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah,
your kids a little bit younger.
Yeah, but I can see that coming. Like, that's what I'm saying. If in the last 6 months they're already staying up an hour later, just because their body clock. Like, I can see in another 6 months it's going to be another hour. Like, I won't be surprised, because we know this happens for teenagers. But my son, who's the more challenging one, he tends to fall asleep faster actually than my daughter, and she will read for a while, but. She's very good about, if I just say it's time to stop, she closes her eyes and she goes to sleep. So I don't have that push yet that you're having, but I can see it coming.
I see, because you've given them a chance to de-stress, or or like whatever it is that they want to do, and so then she's okay with it. Like, okay, yeah, my mom gave me a chance, and now I should go off to sleep.
Yeah, and she's the younger one, and she's definitely more of a rule follower. Like, okay, mom, and she's tired. Like, as much as she would love to keep reading, she's actually tired. And so if I say it's time, all right. And as soon as her book is closed, she can go to sleep.
So she's reading an actual book, not on her phone, right?
Right.
Not on the laptop or a screen. Okay. That's an important.
Yeah, they don't have phones. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
I can see it coming. I'm not there yet, but it will not be long before they're going to want to be up till 11, and they're going to be pushing that. And I'm just glad that, you know, we do have this reading thing where I'm reading aloud, because that is me facilitating with both of them that wind down that I don't think independently my son would do on his own.
And you can do that for years and years. I'll tell you what. I mean, I think I read all my kids. So literally, they were freshmen in high school, some of them. We'd read together out loud, and it was the wind down time. But, you know, you're right, though. I mean, every kid is different, and it changes kind of even, you know, semester to semester.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that there ever has been, you know, a time where everyone just, I mean, they all do go to sleep. They all eventually go to their rooms. Some of them, I can't get out of their rooms even to come down for dinner. So it's like, you know, I have no problem telling them to go to their rooms and get ready for bed because they're still in there the whole time, especially like my junior and senior in high school. But they do eventually like fall asleep. You know, we have a 4-year-old. And so, I mean, he probably doesn't factor into the equation because he still requires quite a bit of hand holding and bedtime routine, you know, book reading and snuggling before he falls asleep. But the others do, you know, and I don't know. I'm trying to think if we did anything. I know there were times for sure that it was stressful, particularly with our 15-year-old. Because he would sneak back out of his room and get
right.
on the next call. But you know, as soon as we switched to having him read actual books at night, and he was reading books, he loved to read. He loves to read still. I mean, but he was reading on the Kindle app on his iPad. And as soon as mm-hmm. we transitioned away from that to actual books, it was easier for him to fall asleep. And we do melatonin for him. The other kids don't typically need it. Mm-hmm. So that's something if you're concerned about the ability to feel sleepy, I'm not saying you should drug your kids. I'm just saying if they truly, and this is true for almost everyone with ADHD, you know, 90% have trouble winding down and being able to fall asleep. Melatonin helps, very small doses, like 1 milligram, 2 milligrams. It'll either work or it won't. You'll know right away. But that's something that can help as well. If that's the issue, I'm not saying just to get them to go into their room and go to sleep, but if their brains are running and that's the challenge, they can't shut down, that can be helpful.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
I haven't tried that,
but
I have several friends that have. Yeah.
So the melatonin is, I understand it helps you fall asleep, whoever needs it. But
mm-hmm.
is that typical for everyone with ADHD or only some?
That they need melatonin?
Yeah.
I think it depends on the person or the kid. I think for those that it helps, it's a lifesaver because there are kids who truly cannot stop their minds. You know, even if they're in their rooms laying there trying to sleep, you know, that's when their minds wake up. and that may not be what's going on with your kids, but it may be. So I think sometimes it's worth kind of getting underneath what's going on. Are they just still overstimulated from the day? Is there really homework that needs to get done that she hasn't done yet? And is she going to be able to sleep knowing that there's this, you know, this piece that she hasn't been able to tackle? Or is it that? Is it just that this my brain is going, and even I would love to sleep. Please let me sleep, and it won't let me sleep. That's when you want to do, you know, something like a melatonin or figure out a mindfulness meditation, you know, whatever works. There's things that you can try. I mean, the whole good sleep hygiene, you know, dark curtains in the room, lavender, you know, we sprayed lavender on everything for a while. That's supposed to help with calming your brain and your body before bedtime. And there's all kinds of external things that you can do to help kind of kick that sleep cycle into gear. But it's important to figure out what's behind it. Because, I mean, if it's homework or if it's just I'm on my phone and I want to, or, you know, whatever, I'm doing something that I'm actively engaged in, the transition away from that or, you know, doing some good sleep stuff may not solve the problem because they need to finish or at least be aware of the transition time in order to work towards sleep, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, sorry. I know there's no perfect bedtime routine, I guess. As soon as you find it, at least in my experience, one of the kids changes, and then you have to kind of readjust. Yeah. But I will tell you that by the time they're seniors in high school, you will have no problem getting them to sleep. Because when they're home, that's what they do. Just have to hang in until you get there. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. But I'm kind of feeling like this might be a good time to start working on maybe a solid checkout process. How do you guys feel about that?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So the questions that we ask at the end are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or my takeaway from today? what's a realistic action step for me to take, and how can I set myself up for success with this action? It'll take a few seconds or however long, and let's work through those. And just chime in when you're ready.
So I think, you know, for myself, I'm going to try and stick to the, you know, getting a peaceful sleep environment. You know, we've talked about that, and thank you for sharing both of your experiences. So I think I'll try and work on getting a routine going. I'm not sure what exactly it will be, but, you know, still try and focus on that and continue to work on that and not stress myself out in the process and just kind of let it be more peaceful, and then, you know, trying to play some classical music, etc. And we used to have lavender at home, and used to do that with at least one of the kids. So I think I'll restart that now that you've given me that idea again. So I'm probably gonna continue working on this.
Okay.
And I just had an idea too with this whole idea of feeling forward, right? Do you like my daughter, if she does stay up too late reading, you know, if I tell her and she just can't stop and she's close to the end of the book or whatever, and she stays up too late, the next day she's super tired and she will, oh my God, Mom, it's so hard to, okay, well, does that have something to do with staying
right
up too late? And
make
so,
that connection.
Exactly. So then she's sort of, oh, right, okay, yes, I do need to get more sleep than I got. But because of who she is, that's easy for her to, it's not a big deal. Where with my son, he would very much, somehow it would get turned on me, or that's not the problem, or he doesn't take responsibility for it the same way she would, or see that connection. But I don't know if that would help for your, you know, for your oldest, if she can see that the next day she's tired when she stays up too late, and then
and you leave.
I suspect
that kind of tied together, right?
Yeah. Well, in her case, I suspect that she's like, whatever, it was still worth the book I was reading, you know, like she's a voracious reader, so she loves her book, whatever she gets from the library. So
yeah, I'm guilty of that too. So there's been many, many nights where my husband has woken up and found me reading still, and I'm like, I have almost to the end. But you're right. I mean, she knows you're going to leave in the morning for school at a certain time, whether she's up or not. So,
right.
And there's consequences for her if she misses the ride, right? So it's all kind of tied together. So you almost already have a built-in, way to enforce bedtime.
Yeah. So it's basically that natural consequence, and me giving her enough time to you know, to go through that, is basically what I'm trying to do, allow the natural consequence cycle to happen.
Yeah. And I don't know if open is the word that I want to use, but they're going to notice, if they haven't already, that you're doing things differently, and they may push you, you know, they may, or maybe not even intentionally or, in being aware that they're doing it. But, you know, when you take a step back, it's going to shift the dynamic. And for a little bit, they may be like, wait a minute, what's going on? And it may not, like I said, it may not be a tangible or a coherent thought. It's just something different. And so the importance of being kind of consistent with this and saying, yep, this is the way it is for now, and maintaining that step back and that sense of peace around kind of whatever happens is going to be critical. To allowing them to kind of fill in that space themselves and take that step forward.
Okay, I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And maybe I can keep adding slowly to that routine, for example, after, if it's like past 10 p.m. and just like hey guys, I'm done. I have to go and take care of other things. Good night. I'll see you tomorrow morning, and just not talk to them after that, even though they might want to engage with me.
Mm-hmm. I would love that. Let me know what happens if you get there. That would be really phenomenal. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, that idea just popped in my head. So
I like that.
It's good intention, so I'm not
for sure.
What's going to happen.
That'll tell us a lot, too, right? Like, what is, you know, there, it could be that one of your kids just wants more time with you. You know, it could be something like that.
Right.
Oh, and data collection. Interesting. I can't wait to hear what happens.
Sure. I'll let you know.
All right. Tell me. You want to check out?
Yeah. Sure. I guess, really, I'd just focus on verbalizing what's going on right now and trying to, I guess, you know, being able to say that where we're at is helpful and then makes it easier to get back to a positive place with just trying to move forward from where we are.
Okay. So do you have a kind of an action plan in mind or a way to move forward from here?
Well, I kind of already, I'm still pursuing information about what it would mean to move him now, and we've got a meeting on Monday to look at his IEP, so I've got all the stuff that needs to happen to
make the next decision. Is there a tipping point?
I think on Monday, he was just suspended for today and tomorrow, and on Monday we have a meeting, and I had actually requested the meeting already. It's an IEP meeting to make sure that his modifications and accommodations are being followed, because I don't think that they are, and so then he's, you know, getting triggered, and so Monday's meeting, I think, will how that goes and what they're willing to do at school will make a big difference for me.
Yeah. Well, my want for you is that whatever happens in that meeting makes it really clear what your next step should be, and that you move forward with, you know, confidence and peace of mind, knowing that you're making whatever you decide will be the right, I don't want to say right, the best choice for you and for your son and for all of you.
Right.
I mean, you're a smart woman, right? You know what you're doing. You know what's out there. You know what's available. You've advocated for your son again and again and again and again. And it's just time to do it again. So,
yeah,
you've got this.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Well, have a wonderful weekend. Good luck on Monday.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Let us know how it goes, okay? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, take care, guys. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.